What are the outcomes of the agreement? What was the form of the department? And what was the performance agreement signed by the minister for the department? And what were our outcomes and measurement objectives for 2010-11? What has been our achievements over the period? And what has been the strategy priorities going forward? And also, Chair, if time permits, but we know that the progress per target is already in the annual report, and then we give the conclusion. Then Chair, the CFO will come in and deal with the financial part of the report after I finish the my presentation, then come back and do the conclusion. And take questions as well, members. Chair, is the purpose of the presentation to provide the portfolio committee with a strategic view of the performance of the department against government priorities and its strategic priorities as well as budget. The important progress in terms of achievement of the planned targets set by the department and to indicate, not in detail, the strategic priorities of the department going forward to make sure that we sustain that we have achieved. So in terms of the government outcomes, there are 12 priority outcomes, but as a department, we contribute mainly on the three, which is the all people in South Africa are and feel safe, skilled and capable workforce to support an inclusive growth path, and an efficient, effective, and development-oriented public service and an empowered, fair, and inclusive citizenship. Then the minister signed the performance agreement with the president. In terms of that, the department has to complete all strategic information and identification process within already defined budgets and timeframes, the registration of every child birth within 30 days of delivery, the issue of identity documents to every South African 15 years and above, improving the turnaround times for all services, queuing times and unit cost per service, determining and improving the maximum distance for a citizen to travel to access home affairs services, effective and efficient refugee management strategies and systems, contributing to the level of skills and general economic development in South Africa target by realizing a positive skills migration trend of around 50,000 migrants annually. The focus should be on critical skills shortage supportive of the medium-term strategies and government outcomes. So, Chair, the department over the reporting period has been guided by the government priorities and as well as the minister's performance agreement. Based on that, then as a department, we develop these outcomes and the measurable objectives. First one, Chair, was under the outcome secure South African citizenship and identity, and then at outcome number two, immigration managed effectively and securely in the national interest, including economic, social, and cultural development. Outcome three, a service that is efficient, accessible, and corrupt-free. Then based on that, what were the activities now under each outcome? Under the secure South African citizen and identity, for this year, we're responsible to ensure that registration at birth is the only entry point for South Africans to the National Population Register, to review the regulatory framework to manage birth, death, and citizenship, to issue identity documents to all citizens 15 years and above, to secure processes and systems to combat fraud and corruption, to integrate key systems and upgrade IT infrastructure for improved security and data integrity. And the outcome number two, DHA effectively contributing to the successful hosting of the 2010 FIFA World Cup, to implement an integrated immigration management system, to review the policy and regulatory framework to manage economic migration and asylum seekers, to participate in and contribute towards the establishment and functioning of a border management agency, to develop a framework for a risk-based management approach. With regard to outcome number three, was to improve leadership and capacity to ensure ethical conduct and a zero tolerance approach to corruption, to obtain a clean audit report, to increase capacity to contribute to the fight against cybercrime, to develop and implement service delivery standards to improve operational efficiency, to ensure effective, efficient, and accessible service delivery to clients. So, Chair, what now I'll be giving is just the overview of achievement in terms of those objectives. Chair, the presentation does not cover all what is in the annual report. We just pick those things which we think are important. However, we will be able to respond to any question which is in the annual report, so that we cannot copy the annual report, all of you, but we will be responsible to respond on any question. Chair, in terms now of mobilizing to defend identity, citizenship, and NPR, the National Population Registration Campaign was launched by the President and Minister of Home Affairs in March 2010. Then in the 2010-11 financial year, Home Affairs mobilized its officials, communities, and its government partners at local and provincial level, and among the main achievements were the following. 500,524 babies were registered within 30 days of birth, and 445,507 between 31 days and 12 months. Therefore, 946,031 were registered within a year. A large number of undocumented citizens were registered on the NPR, including 190,091 late registration of birth. A total of 724,533 IDs were issued, of which 425,774 to applicants 16 years and above, and 228,759 to applicants turning 16 years. The strategy there is for us to make sure that by the time children write their matric, they must already have their ID. So we visit schools and we target grade 11 on that age 16 years. So then by the time they write their matric, they must already have all their IDs. The local and provincial outreach programs were combined with innovative communication that included the appearance of minister in two episodes of Generation, public support from the chiefs and parish captains in a telecom challenge final, minister in a Pampas advert to encourage early birth registration, and Deputy Minister Gigaba, then Home Affairs, promoted the NPR campaign in the National Lottery broadcast. All these were really the pillars for the campaign to make sure that we are able to create the awareness into our communities. The launch of stakeholder forums across the country. Stakeholder forums were launched in 252 out of 282 municipalities. Stakeholder forums include community leaders, community organizations, local government, and relevant departments. What is the purpose of this forum for us? Is to monitor and improve the delivery of DHA services. They are helping us in combating corruption related to DHA services, coordinate efforts, and communicate within communities to identify needs and assist DHA in meeting those needs. The stakeholder forums have extended the reach of Home Affairs into the most remote areas and to the poorest of the poor. These forums have enabled people to get involved in government on their own terms. Government listens, engages, and responds to their needs. Said this was one of the vision of the minister of the Kosovo-Natlan Minister Zuma to say how I'm going to be able to make sure that Home Affairs responds to the needs of the people. As we know that we are a monopoly on our services. People cannot go anywhere else except coming to the Department of Home Affairs. So these stakeholder forums are really helping us as a department in ensuring that. Hence, we are happy now with the progress even on the registration of children within 30 days, the IDs, all that we are helped by these stakeholder forums. So say one of the issues which was major for the department was really the resolution of the dispute with the wireless service provider. When iOnline was a project to provide an integrated platform of information systems that will greatly enhance security and efficient delivery of services, key elements included automation of processes and live capture of biometrics, which could be rolled out because of the dispute. The resolution of WIO paves the way for the implementation of critical projects to modernize the information technology and systems of the department and avoid the lengthy court process. The transformation of the department, we've seen it in terms of phases. So phase one was for really for the department to look at the issues of the service delivery. The phase two was for us to deal with the issues of the financial management in the department. The third one, channel, which we want to work hard on is the automation of the Department of Home Affairs to be a paperless department. So this in the 10-11, we had to resolve this issue because it was a blockade in terms of that phase. So now we'll be able now to get into that phase and change the department. Online verification of identity to third parties. Online fingerprint verification to third parties, which enhances security, detects, and reduces fraud. It can also potentially generate substantial revenue. The department has signed MOUs with SAPRIC and SASA. SAPRIC connectivity to BankServe was implemented. First test for commercial verification was performed. What do we mean by this term? In that we, as the Department of Home Affairs, were the custodian of the identity documents. There are various sectors which depends on that ID. So the authenticity of that identity document is important. So the first one was with the banks. So banks, there's a lot of corruption and fraud which is going around with the banks when people are stealing IDs. So where we are now with the SAPRIC, we've already now signed the MOU, which now has allowed us to implement the connectivity between the banks and ourselves. By end of October, we'll be launching between ourselves and banks, the banks which have already started to roll out. When you go now to the bank, those banks will have the capability of taking your fingerprint and check whether this particular ID belongs to you or not, which is going to eliminate these problems of whether people have got duplicate IDs, go and open accounts on other people. Now the banks will be able to check that. SASA, as we know, that SASA is issuing pensions and grants. So now they're able now to link with our database so that when this person comes and say, I've got five children, now they can go to our database and check whether that is a reality or not. So this process is really going to be saving the country on this gauge of fraud and corruption. And making civic legislation more secure and effective, the BEST and BEST Legislation Amendment Bill was assented to and signed by the President. The amendment will improve service delivery by streamlining processes such as the registration of children by persons other than biological parents, the registration of orphans and abandoned children, and the changing of details. Improve security, for example, by enabling more stringent measures for late registration of birth and require the registration of funeral undertakers. Discourage fraud by increasing the maximum penalty for fraudulent birth and death registration from 5 to 15 years. The amendment of the South African Citizenship Act, the amendment clarifies issues that relate to citizens by birth, descent, naturalization, as well as the loss of South African citizenship. An example is that dual citizenship will be allowed only if that other country allows it. Acquisition of South African citizenship by birth was more clearly defined as in the case of children born abroad to South African parents. So both of these amendments were passed by the portfolio committee, so I won't go into detail of that. In terms of expanding and improving access to service delivery, the issue of the connectivity of hospitals, which we think will be really a driving vehicle for this objective of making sure that children are registered within 30 days. 46 additional hospitals were connected to enable online registration of birth, making a total of 192 hospitals connected. We opened now 10 new service delivery points during the review period. The expansion of the footprint is part of a larger strategy aimed at providing citizens in all communities with adequate access to services. In terms of our new look and feel concept, we have managed to refurbish 24 offices in terms of the new look and feel concept adopted by the department. And improvements include better management of space, chairs, better seating and signage. And we have implemented as well a state-of-the-art chair management system to 12 offices across the country during the reporting period. A safe and a secure and efficient FIFA World Cup, systems and facilities were improved and other measures taken to ensure that the full FIFA World Cup commitments could be met. Visas were issued to designated persons, work permits were issued to designated people, priority treatment was provided for FIFA delegation teams and other persons, improvement of telecommunication and information technology in the department. Rollout of the enhanced movement control system to 34 priority ports of entry, and clearing of 2.387524 travelers, over a million more than usual. Facilities at key points of entry improved, such as dedicated lines, signage and branding. Joint border clearance was introduced at 6 ports of entry. A unique event visa was issued to fans from a number of countries. Advanced passenger processing system introduced, and airlines and officers deployed at critical foreign airports during the World Cup. An operational center was established to receive, analyze, and respond quickly. So, Chair, we are saying that the Department of Home Affairs, we really played our role in terms of the FIFA World Cup. We really said we were not a missing link. We were able to deliver what was expected of the guarantee for FIFA. In terms of stabilizing and improving permitting, with the issues which we have, where we did establish a centralized adjudication hub for processing of permits, permanent and temporary resident permits, 80,053 were received and adjudicated, and a new information system was introduced with a track and trace and SMS notification, because before we were not having this for our permits, it was only on the civic side. But now for our permits, we did introduce now the system so that people can be informed. We also introduced a case management system within the inspectorate division, which was rolled out to all inspectorate offices, which provides data on the activities such as arrests, investigations, prosecutions, and deportations. So 55,125 illegal foreigners were deported during the We also implemented the documentation of the Zimbabwean citizens without valid documentation. By December 2010, we received 275,162 applications, which reducing the number of undocumented and fraudulent foreigners and asylum seekers, and normalizing migration flows between South Africa and Zimbabwe, and share this project will finally close by end of October. As we said, that we'll be coming to commit give reports on a bi-monthly basis. Also within immigration, we did close some loopholes with regard to that. Immigration Bill of 2010 was voted on and passed by the National Assembly at its second reading and referred to NCOP for concurrence. Amendments to the Refugee Act 1998 were passed by the NCOP and draft refugee regulations were developed. So now, Chair, by now, both of these acts have already been now assented by the President around August. So the provision of the Immigration Act includes restricting the change of status that a visitor can apply for while in South Africa, repealing provisions according to special status to immigration practitioners, and revising provisions relating to visas and permits and the making of regulations in general, a shift away from a compliance approach to a proactive management. With regards to the refugee amendment, it includes improving the capacity, effectiveness, and efficiency of status determination, such as establishing a decentralized refugee appeals authority, and closing a number of loopholes and correcting technical errors. So, Chair, in the 11-12, now we'll be implementing these amendments. In terms of ensuring ethical conduct and combating corruption, a baseline study conducted on causes and scope of corruption in DSA, forming the basis for the development of strategy and for planning was and conducted. Birth, marriage and death and permit processes were assessed and security certified and verified. What it means in terms of those processes is to analyze even the issue of that, what are the security features which were put in our birth certificates and then on that. So that's what that process has helped us. Yes, there's still a challenge, as 68% of misconduct cases were finalized within an average of 60 days. 130 comprehensive risk and threat assessment of facilities were conducted in terms of minimum information security standards and minimum physical security standards. 251 cases of suspected corruption were identified, and 108 of these cases were finalized. With regard to the transformation matters of the department, Chair, we did implement a working time arrangement which reduced overtime payments. As you noted, that the Department of Home Affairs, the Cabinet, took a decision that we must open on Saturdays. So previously, any additional work on Saturdays and as well from 4 to 5 was only regarded as an overtime. So we spoke with the unions, we agreed that now those times will be taken as working days. So that has reduced now the payments on overtime in 9-10 to about 10 million, which is one of the issues with the CFO. We'll come back to it, but we're hoping now that in the 11-12 we might be able to comply, but not fully, because for you to implement that working time arrangement, you need a certain level of number of employees. If your employees are still less, you are able to still get some, you are still paid overtime. But say for when you report on the ages report on non-compliance, we will talk to that. In terms of active allowance, the department, we really, though we're still struggling, but we try to make sure that let us appoint people. Because as we appoint, we are reducing this payment of acting allowances. So for 10-11, we really prioritize positions in terms of management. So these 417 positions were more at a management level. Because our view was that once you stabilize the organization at that level, then you are able to manage things properly. However, we filled 42% of that during the 10-11. I will give the breakdown. Then we also had a situation in the department where we had a lot of contract workers which were appointed in the department, which is not a favorable situation for a department like Home Affairs, who is involved in security issues, because your contract staff, you are not sure where they come from, what is their profile. So the decision we took was to absorb what we can, and then after that, in the Department of Home Affairs, no more that will appoint contract workers, will appoint people permanently. We increased the workforce, resulted in significant reduced utilization of consultants in areas where they are not necessary. Yes, Chair, the department prior was more relying on consultants. So our strategy was to really appoint managers to do the work where we're supposed to not appoint consultants. That has given us a good result. So in our quest to drive performance culture and enhance organizational performance, performance agreements have been aligned to the department's strategy. The Department Leadership Forum was launched in 14 July 2010, piloted by the Minister, thus kick-starting a dynamic process of transformational change amongst leadership. So we've taken out that within the department, as a management, we are focused, we are reading from one page, and this leadership forum helped us, in particular, linking all the levels of management from director up, so that we can be able to be the management team, not managing individually, in particular with the provinces. That's why even today, Chair, we said as part of management of the department, we need to get representative from that area so that we can make sure that the department is one. We also, Chair, in focusing in our future leaders and supporting government's call to invest in our youth, the department also launched a youth forum in March 2011. So in the department, we've got a youth forum. Now we, in the, their programs, now we'll be reporting more on them on the 11-12 financial year, because we formed it towards the end of the financial year. So in terms of the positions, which is still a challenge, this issue in the department, maybe in government as a whole, that we did prioritize 417 positions. But as you fill these positions, people are also resigning. So we had about those 136 level, and it's about 155. As we indicated, out of that, we managed to fill 42% by year end, and all those natural positions were able to fill the 155. What is the spread of that 178? So in it, we appointed in the 178, 150 were Africans, 19 colored, 3 Indians, and 6 whites. So by the end of March, we're still having 239 positions which were not filled. But to demonstrate what we are doing on this matter, which is really taking it seriously. So we said, let's also give the committee what is the status of this process at the end of September. Out of that 417 now, we have filled 332, so we are left about 85 positions on the 417. And for 2011-12, we identified additional 1,076 positions. Those positions, the difference now between that and the 417, 1076 is more at a lower level because the management positions were already covered. In terms of civics, we had 787, immigration 258, IT 16, finance 3, counter corruption 12. So we have filled 622 of those positions. But as you know, that we've got a process that will be transferring some employees from defense to the department about 350. So once they join the department, which we are hoping to finalize this by the end of October, so that we'll be able to reach that number. That 350 is more already at the pipeline. So in terms of equity, as a department, we are 84.94% African. We are still not doing well in terms of other races. Colored, we are 5.88. Indians, 0.85. Whites, 8.33%. But in terms of the gender, the split between males and females, males are 40.49. and females 59.5. Of that, disability, which is still not doing well in terms of the target, was 0.3% instead of 1.2%. Then in terms of the split, though males are fewer than the male females, but still it's the promise we still need to work on. As we know that our target should be 50-50, but in the department now at 59.9% males at 40.91 females. It's something which we really target now in the filling of the position going forward. With our learning academy, our learning academy is one of the driving force in terms of the change within the department we want to do. So we piloted a customer care program within managers being trained in the management and customer service, and 75 line office officials trained in customer service program. And in terms of the excellence program, the Learning Academy target was to train 1,000 officials from civil services and immigration on standard processes. The academy was able to train 1,007, and the breakdown of that was that 657 officials were from civil services and 350 officials were from immigration. And in terms of need-based intervention, what it means is that when now people getting these other courses, the 1,000 officials were trained in need-based training intervention. For us to really improve the issues of governance and management, a new operating model was implemented. Previously, the department was organized into four zones with immigration services reporting to central management. The new structure is integrated and aligned to all three types of government, with civil and immigration functions organized under 9 provincial managers. Home affairs structures will correspond with local and provincial structures, but cooperation at local level is assured. So at China, we're working with the stakeholder forums at that level. So at the district municipal level, we've got now DMOs, because district municipal managers are responsible for all the activities in that district municipality. At a provincial level, the provincial head links with the provincial government and work in that province. So that's how we're structured. And for us in this model is that whatever is happening in a province, we ask one person. We don't say, no, this immigration is at headquarters. That provincial head has to be managing everything. So we engage in the process of decentralizing of procurement and payment functions, which will enhance service delivery and efficient operations in the province. Therefore, we'll come back to this again, which was raised by the Auditor General in terms of payments within 30 days. But by doing this decentralization, will help us to change that problem. So the model is designed to enable managers to take charge and manage at all levels, whilst ensuring accountability and oversight. So this is what we also believe, that why we're able to deal with our asset register properly, is that we decentralize that asset register. A manager of the office was responsible for compiling their asset register, but when we were centralized, we were not able to win that project. Chair, if I go to the table, that's for us to say, which I think is what the chair was starting to say to us, that how we're going to make sure that what we have achieved, we must continue, not sliding back. And so what we are doing now in the focusing on in the 12 financial year, we really want to ensure that the department performs a certain role in the national security by developing a cadre of discipline, professional officials who are security conscious and caring and responsive to the needs of all South Africans. So in the media is already there that the department is working with the students in getting training, and we are piloting a project in the OR Tambo so that we can make sure that in certain areas of the department we really need people who are having this understanding of security. In fact, when we were talking in the department, we said when we were developing our movement control system, our target as a department in the system was how quick it can be able to process people. It takes about 1.5 seconds to 2 seconds to process an individual. But when now we're interacting with the students, we're saying to us, but what do you mean that you process a person within a 1.5 seconds with these security concerns, drug smuggling, all those kind of things. So that is changing now the perception to us, that we need our officers to be trained and understand that as the person is coming to that immigration officer, I'm able to study the behavior of that individual and all those kind of things. So the interest mustn't be more on the how fast we can process them. It must be at how security processes we engage so that the people are coming in our country, we are sure about them. Developing leadership with the capacity to drive transformation. As we said, Chair, that in the department, we really don't want to utilize more consultants in areas where we can. So we want to own the processes as the management of the department in order for us to be able to drive the changes we are looking at. Building a platform of processes and systems that are secure and integrated to enable the department to secure the identity and status of all who live in South Africa. So, Chair, this is more on our modernization, which we want to deal with it, the integration of the system. Implementing an operating model that is appropriate to a security department that must deliver services effectively to every citizen and to other clients and sectors. As we're saying that we really want to incapacitate our processes, we have started this year, for the first time in the Department of Home Affairs, again, from 1st of April, we have appointed directors finance for each province. We have not given them as well state accountants who must be able to assist the provinces to drive their management issues. Developing effective partnership with communities across all spheres of government and hence national security and effective service delivery while transforming the department. Here we are saying, without working in a collaboration with the GCPS cluster department, we cannot be able to achieve what Home Affairs is supposed to do. In particular, border management, where we're working together with defense, issues of combating corruption, we work together with the intelligence community, police. So it's something which we really embracing as a department. And so we really want to have the capacity to work strategically and effectively with the state, civil society, internationally and locally. So this is our stakeholder forum. We really want to build that. But what we have learned now after the government elections is that your stakeholder forums, after the election, they need to be doing it again. So now we need to go back and rebuild those. And we're also wanting now to check in terms of the office bearers of those stakeholder forums maybe must be more on people who are not changing. The one of them must not consider those who can change based on the electoral processes. But if you can strengthen it more based on people like the community leaders who are there, whether there are elections or not. But it's something which we have learned but want to build on it. Now we are at the ones now of the business. We want to start now that stakeholder forum of the businesses which will help us on these issues of now permits. We really want to still continue in terms of working on this issue of fight against corruption. As I was saying that maybe with this, as I said, this slide are exactly what is in the annual report in terms of what was our target we have given, and as I said, I've covered at a high level, maybe might not, but if there are questions, we can be able to deal with that. So maybe now I can hand over back to the CFO.
Thank you, JJ. Thank you, Chair. The presentation will cover the purpose the DHA outcome, audit outcome for previous financial years, the layout of the annual financial statement, highlights of the final audited financial statement based on the layout of the financial statement. We'll also then deal with the highlights of the audit opinion for 2011 and the way forward. Okay, there's one slide missing in this presentation, but I'll talk through that slide. If we look at the purpose of the presentation, it's basically to highlight the audited results of the department for the financial year 2010-11. Also, we will look at the Auditor General report and how are we dealing with the issues raised by the Auditor General. I thought I should just mention the fact that the annual report of the department was tabled on the 29th of September 2011, and where specifically the financial statements can be located is in Part 3, which is statutory requirements of the annual report. And included in that Part 3 is the report of the Audit Committee. If we look at the outcomes of the department for the past 5 years, and the purpose of this is just to show the honorable members and the chair how the department has been improving for the past 5 years. The chair has already congratulated us, so the secret is out. I thought I would keep it as a secret for 2011, but the secret is out. So we will I will still announce the secret at the end of my presentation. So if we just look at this table, it's showing us how the department has improved from the different financial years. If we look at 2006-07, we received a disclaimer, and the disclaimer was around the issues of cash and cash equivalent, payables, capital assets, departmental revenue and receivables, voted funds, and irregular and fruitless and wasteful expenditure. The members will then see that there were lots of things not going right. And if we look at 2007-08, it was also a disclaimer, and it was mostly in the areas that were reported in the 2006-07, except that there were new things introduced by National Treasury around leases, and were also disclaimed on expenditure. If we then go to 2008-09, and this was as a result of the turnaround strategy that was implemented by the department, where the department was only qualified on a few issues around departmental revenue and receivables for departmental revenue, capital assets and leases. In 2010, there was also an improvement where the department was only qualified on capital assets. If we then look at that slide that was not included, which I would like to talk through it, what did we do in 2010-11 so that we can improve the outcome? We identified, we looked at our budget, and we identified that there were expenditure that was not budgeted for, and we needed to clean those debts from previous years. And this will talk to the over expenditure that the members will see in our statement of financial performance. Members will realize that if you are cleaning something, there will be dust that you will need to take out of that room that you are cleaning. And in order to improve that, that's why we are having this over expenditure. And that over expenditure is that dust that will come out of the room. And hopefully the members will understand where we are coming from and where we are going in terms of preventing this from happening again. This was done in consultation with National Treasury, as was mentioned in most of the meetings that we've attended here at this portfolio committee. The other issue that was really a problem was around revenue and asset management, and we implemented a project called Back to Basics. And this project was dealing with the AG issues that were raised in the previous financial years. Every Friday, we used to meet and discuss the progress around revenue management and asset management. We also worked in collaboration with National Treasury, the Auditor General, and Home Affairs Management and officials to deal with the issues that were raised in the previous financial years by the Auditor General, and also the budgetary constraints that the department has been experiencing. And the DG already mentioned that we've appointed Director of Finance in the provinces, even though they were appointed in April 2011. Those Director of Finance played a very major role during the audit process. And they are supported by state accountants in their different provinces. Also, we are decentralizing certain functions in finance, specifically the payment and procurement function. We also established an audit action committee to deal with the internal audit reports and their recommendations. To deal specifically with the DICO account, we then implemented the MOU between DICO and Home Affairs so that we do not continuously having documents that cannot be provided and taking long for those documents to come through to our system. We also appointed program and responsibility managers. Everyone who is sitting here, they've been given a letter to say you are a program manager as a DDG of HR or civic services, and you are the letter then spells out the responsibilities in line with the PFMA. And then all the chief directors are then responsibility managers, and their responsibilities are coming from the program manager's responsibilities. So these people are responsible for their budget, they are responsible for assets in terms of the PFMA, and they are also responsible for the collection of revenue and managing that revenue. And we apologize that this specific slide is not in the presentation. If we can then go to the next slide, which lay out the annual financial statement from the financial statement as defined by National Treasury. It needs to have the statement of financial performance that includes the revenue, expenses, surplus or deficit, depending on the revenue that has been collected, the appropriation, minus the expenses incurred for the financial year. We'll then have a statement of financial position, which includes the assets, liabilities, and the net assets. The financial statements also include the cash flow statement of the department, which will include the operating activities, how we have spent the money that was given by National Treasury, and then also it includes the investing activities, which will include things like interest and other related issues. It will also include the financing, which will be your overdraft, if you had an overdraft, your loans, which normally government, you are not allowed to have loans. Then it will include what is the cash that you have in the bank on the 31st of March. Then the financial statement will also include the appropriation statement. This is where it aligns the budget to the programs or the strategic plan, basically, where you will look at the programs, the sub-programs, the budget allocation to those programs and sub-programs, and the actual expenditure for those sub-programs and sub-programs and economic classification per program. Also, there are notes to the financial statements which tries to clarify what is in the statement of financial performance. And the other good thing that has been included in our annual report is this explanatory note in each and every note that we have in the financial statement. Also, we've got disclosure notes, which are things that are not necessarily on the statement of financial performance or statement of financial position, but they are required in terms of the framework that we disclose it. We also have annexures, which are not audited, but they are part of the financial statement. Okay. How did we spend the money that was allocated to us? We spent, we were allocated a total of 5.8 billion. We then spent 6.5 billion, and that's 11% more than the allocated amount. This goes back to what I was talking about, cleaning the department in terms of the budget. So we've overspent our budget by 687 million. And I will then take the members through the breakdown of the 687 million. If we then look at the budget in terms of the economy classification, for compensation of employees, we were allocated 1.8 billion. We then spent 2 billion. That's 9% more than the allocated amount. For goods and services, we spent we were allocated 1.9 billion. We spent 2.3 billion. For interest and rent on land is the same. For transfers and subsidies is also the same. Whatever that was allocated, we then spent that money. Payment for capital assets, we spent 30% more than what was allocated, and then the payment of financial assets was 100% spent. If we then look at the analysis of the overspending in the next slide, members will remember that we during the turnaround time, we had a consulting firm called Fever Tree Consulting, and the contract ended on the 31st of March 2010, but there were invoices that were not paid in 9-10 financial year, which were then presented for payment in 10-11 financial year, and that's that 79 million, and that amount was not budgeted for. It was not included in the budget. That's why we then overspent by that 80 million. We had legal services. This is for litigation fees. We only had a budget of 6.7 million, but there were lots of cases that needed to be resolved, and there were debts from previous financial year, and we then overspent by 12 million. If we look at security services, we had a budget of 25 million, but the expenditure was 34 million, but we were able to shift funds from other areas of the budget, and that will be in line with the environment policies defined by the PFMA, and we only overspent by 7.4 million. IT-related contractual commitments, also, here we had 100 million budgeted for, but because we had all these invoices that were not settled in 9-10, we then overspent by 31 million. If we look at office accommodation, we've only budgeted 140 million, but there were lease agreements signed. The department was contractually obligated to pay these leases, but they were not properly budgeted for. We had a budget of 140, and when we were doing the costing of the office accommodation, we realized that we've got a shortage of around 45 million if we look at all the other savings from the other line items. That's why we then overspend by this 45 million. Printing of passports, because of the increase in the printing cost by GPW, we then overspent by 160 million. I mean, there was an invoice, this 160 million was invoices for 20, 2009-10 financial year. If we look at the harness ID infrastructure, there was also $100 million that we owed to MAPLES, which was not paid to them. MAPLES are the people who are assisting us with harness. So that's why we had that overspending of the $97 million. DECO account, due to the reconciliation that was not done properly in the past, we are looking at supporting documentation that have been outstanding to since 2005 financial year. And this resulted in we went through a reconciliation process and retrieval of documents from DECO. And because of this is outside the books, because of the accounting system that we are using or accounting framework that we are using, we've ended up not recognizing this amount over the years. And in the 2010-11 financial year, we went through a reconciliation process and resulted in that overspending of 252. Just to note, we engaged National Treasury prior to settling this debt. We only settled this debt in December 2010, but they've been outstanding since April 2010, some before April 2010, and we then settled this amount in December 2010 after consultation with National Treasury, and that's why the department has overspent their budget by $687 million. It looks like a lot of money, but as I've mentioned before, if you are cleaning something, there will be dust that will come out of that cleaning process that you need to throw out of your house. And we can guarantee the house that this is not going to happen in the future. I think we've mentioned that before, and we are reiterating that. If we then look at the statement of financial performance and related knowledge, I didn't go into details in terms of different line items of expenditure, but if members go to the financial statements, they will see in all the notes we've got explanatory notes, and also in the accounting officer's report we went into detail in terms of why there's an increase in certain line items of the expenditure. I've already spoken a lot about the overspending, and if we look at the departmental revenue specifically, it has increased by 46%. So while we were saying that there was an increase in terms of the expenditure for DECO, there's also an increase in terms of revenue, because DECO collects revenue on behalf of the department, but also because the reconciliation was not done properly, we then had revenue that was owed to the National Revenue Fund, which was sitting in DECO's books, not transferred to the National Revenue Fund. We then had an increase in terms of departmental revenue due to that collection of DECO from previous financial years. Also, there was an increase in compensation of employees by 25% due to expenditure relating to the World Cup, DZP project, and absorption of contract workers and DECO settlement, because we do have employees posted to some of the foreign missions, and the expenditure relate to that. There was also an increase for expenditure for capital assets by 47%, and this was due to the settlement of the Gijima contract, where we paid $286 million before the end of the financial year in terms of the settlement agreement. And also, part of the $284 million was interest, and that is included under interest and rent on net. If we then go to the statement of financial position and the related note, we then try to do an analysis for the members on the different line items. This statement of financial position, it includes the assets and liabilities of the department at the end of its reporting period. Some of the line items that we felt that is important to highlight is the unauthorized expenditure, which is the 787 million. This consists of the 687 million of current year, as I've already highlighted, and the 99 million from the previous financial year. I think this was in 2005-06. And this was then, we sent letters to National Treasury, who then wrote to SCOPA for this amount to be discussed or deliberated upon. It was done in July 2011, and the department is awaiting the outcome of that, whether it will be funded or not funded. There's also an amount of 156 million sitting under receivables, and this includes 144 million, which represents payments made to DECO, not yet allocated to different line items. This will mean that our we've made the payments, and the payments have gone through the statement of financial performance, but then we still need to then allocate this to different line items. If we look at departmental revenue to be surrendered, it represents revenue collected and not yet surrendered to the National Revenue Fund. DECO paid us around 396 million, and this was on the 31st of March. So there was no way that we could have paid that money to the National Treasury on time before the end of the financial year. So we've subsequently paid this money to the National Revenue Fund. There's also an overdraft of 549 million, and this relates to the there's a disclosure note 19.1, which is contingent liabilities, and it's 1.4 billion. Out of this 1.4 billion, 1.2 billion relates to summons cases against the department, and the amounts represent 630 million for the electronic document management system, where we have been the company that won the tender has summoned us, and we are dealing with this issue. And there's also 469 million for immigration and civic services. Out of this 469 million, 405 million relate to one case. I think it's for the Melon Hubbs case, and that has been dealt with, and this company has, or this person hasn't come back to the department for the past 3 years, so we are still waiting what will happen. And also there is 104 million for disputed contracts, and one of the 18 million of this 104 relates to Chili Bush, one of the contracts that were issued, and also there's other amounts, small amounts relating to disputed contracts. Just to mention that these are not claims, they haven't been proven beyond reasonable doubt that the department will have to pay. That's why they are contingent liabilities, not commitment or accrual. If we look to disclosure note 20, which deals with commitments, the department has disclosed commitments amounting to 1.3 billion. And if we just look at the breakdown of that amount, 60 million relates to the Kijima settlement. 12 million of this 60 million has been paid, because this amount needs to be paid over 5 years. And also the 1.149 billion, which represents the estimated cost to complete the WIO contract. Note 21 includes the accruals. The amount there is 550 million, which includes 529 million for the settlement of the minimum contract, and this amount has already been paid, and it was budgeted for in April 2011. If we look at irregular expenditure, we've got 457 million. 24 million of this relates to the current financial year, and if the details of this is in the accounting officer's report, what the 24 million entails. The remaining 430 million relates to irregular expenditure not yet condoned from previous financial year. And one of the biggest amount there is the 260 for WIO, which we still need to determine who is the condoning authority. Fruitless and wasteful expenditure, due to the settlement of WIO, there was a loss that the department suffered. And also the same loss was suffered by IGCHIMA. So we calculated the loss, it was around 320 million, and there was also expenses of 14 million relating to World Cup expenses. If we look at disclosure note 30, which will be the tangible assets, this will be movable assets like desks and all those. We've got 940 million, and the increase is mainly due to WIO hardware amounting to 87 million. Even though we suffered a loss of 320, there were assets amounting to 87 million, which are at the department's disposal, and we can use these assets. If we look at the minor assets, we've got 164 million of minor assets. In number, our assets, we've got 163 million assets. Out of those 163,000 assets, out of those 163,000 assets, 140 are minor assets. Because these are assets below 5,000 rand. So, it takes time to manage this number of assets, and especially that they are low value, but we are managing them appropriately. And also the increase was due to the physical verification that was performed and the asset management processes that have been put in place, where we identified assets that were never in the asset register and those assets needed to be fair valued. We also have intangible assets of 1 billion, and the increase was mainly due to the WIO software and licenses. So again, we suffered a loss of 320 million, but we received assets or intangible assets amounting to 364 million, and these licenses will be using them going forward. If we just look at the audit report, which is in part three of the annual report, the department, we can announce that the department received an unqualified audit opinion for the first time in 16 years. I think that's it's a big achievement. And the department should be, I think the members should clap hands for the department. but an unqualified audit, it doesn't mean that we've got a clean administration. I think that's what the Auditor General will say. We are putting measures in place that we get a clean administration or a clean audit report. The reason why we didn't get a clean audit report is due to some of these additional matters that were raised by the Auditor General. And we will mention how we are dealing with some of these issues. An emphasis of matter in the financial statements doesn't mean that it modifies that audit opinion. So even if you get a clean administration, some of the things might be emphasized in the audit report. So we've got significant uncertainties. This will be the contingent liabilities amounting to 1.2 billion due to various pending cases. We also had the material losses amounting to 28.5 million relating to debt return off. That whole 28 million was related to repatriation deposits that we needed to write off because supporting documentation, we couldn't find those supporting documentation or couldn't be provided with those supporting documentation from DECO. So we consulted National Treasury, and they agreed that this amount should then be written off because it's relating to 2004-05 financial year. Also, there were material losses amounting to 38 million relating to assets written off. This is where the department has been disposing of assets, but these assets were never taken out of the asset register. So the same exercise where we brought assets back to the assets register that were not included in the past, we then also had to take out some of the assets, and the 38 million relate to that. The Auditor General also found or raised additional matters. These are the matters that will make us not to get a clean audit. In terms of predetermined objectives, which will be your performance information, we still have a challenge around the performance management processes system for the immigration that couldn't produce actual performance results against the planned indicators. So we are dealing with this issue. That's why we implemented track and trace for the permitting system. Also, there are issues relating to compliance with laws and regulations. There were issues relating to non-disclosure of business interests by certain senior managers. There were certain employees who performed remunerative work without written permission as required by the public service regulations. There were also payments that were made to creditors, but this was not always done within 30 days as required by the treasurer regulations. And monthly compensation for overtime, as the DG has already mentioned, even though we've introduced the new working arrangement, we still have a challenge because there is no capacity to implement the shifting system that needs to work together with the new working arrangement. That's why the AG had to report the fact that we the overtime was not limited to the 30% of employees' monthly salary as required by the service, by the public service regulation. Also, which is quite a disappointing issue, is the fact that our internal audit is not functioning effectively. And we are dealing with this matter. Way forward, for the 2011-12 financial year, we want to continue maintaining this unqualified audit opinion and also dealing with the issues that have been raised. We have started capacitating the provinces in terms of financial management and so that we can prepare for the decentralization of the procurement and payment function and the asset management function. We intend to roll out Logis and BAS, and we need to do training thereof on those two systems, because that without those two systems, you cannot decentralize procurement and payment. Also, we will be implementing the Logis asset management model. Currently, our asset register is on Logis, and that's really not a good idea. It takes a lot of time to manage assets on Excel. We also want to strengthen the asset management processes. This will include asset verification, which will be performed on a monthly basis. We haven't been disposing assets for the past 4 years, and we'll be doing that disposal in this current financial year. We're also going to implement the record management policies and procedures. We are also going to develop and implement a record relocation plan for head office. History has taught us that when we were moving from our previous headquarters to where we are currently, there were documents that were lost, and that resulted in the department getting a disclaimer, and we do not want to go back. So that's why we have developed a relocation plan to make sure that that does not happen. The Audit Action Committee will deal with the internal audit issue. So that's the presentation in terms of financial matters. Thank you.
for me just to deal with the conclusion of the report. Yes, as a department, we really said this success we owed it to the minister. In the first page, you see that this report has been dedicated to the minister for our commitment to efficiency, effective financial management, and excellent service delivery. But it is important for us to really register our appreciation to National Treasury. Without that collaboration, we won't be able to achieve what we have. And as well as the Auditor General was meeting with the minister in intervals and go there, and you could then go to the report which got faces. It would be a smile and whatever. That helped us that we have to be always on our toes, that we know that there will be a meeting between minister and AG. Let's make sure that those things are implemented. Chair, I think we've been coming to this committee, about this report, now they didn't put that. We also put our thanks to the committee. Chair, we've been coming here. We know, even this, as the CFO, it was like this, repeating what we came to the committee and said, this is what we have, we got the support from the government, we know where we want to go. Else, Chair, we have put even on our report, I think on the second page of our annual report, we've got a picture here of the committee visiting our offices, and we know that. We don't have the annual report. Why the annual report? No, we submitted
no, this year I'm sure the members didn't go through their correspondence properly.
Oh, yeah, so we submitted the report. So what we're saying here is that these visits and us being called here, they shape the department, because now we really not take, when we get these guidance, we go back and we work on them and make sure that we're doing something on it. So we really appreciate that. But lastly, I think on this financial report, the CFO has indicated, Chair, that's why we're talking about 16 years. The problems which we had are so big as we are given. But we have cleared them. So now going to the future, we know that those things won't happen again. So, Chair, thanks very much.
That's just the presentation by the DG and the CFO. Honourable members, a number of issues were raised. I'm sure you have questions now to ask or questions for clarity and improvement. Honourable Gang, Honourable Marcella.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, first of all, I think we want to, as you also earlier did, congratulate the department on its unqualified audit. The unqualified audit is a first step towards hopefully eventually have a clean audit. And I would like to therefore ask the department that what exactly do they plan to do with regard to the audit findings on the predetermined objectives, as well as the audit findings on non-compliance to certain laws and regulations. And so what are they planning to do, and by when do they believe they might get a clean audit, not only an unqualified audit? Secondly, it does seem that there has been problems in the internal procurement processes. In particular, what are the reasons for these, and how does the department plan to address that? also like to know what the reasons were for the delay in the finalization of the asset register. And there has been quite a substantial overspending, which is not necessarily that bad, because obviously it means that at least the department is endeavoring to deliver. But I'd like to know, you know, why did this overspending, let me rather say, what was the justification for the overspending that took place, and are there plans in place to make sure that the department remains within its budget? I think I'll just start with those.
Thank you, Chair, and thanks to a wonderful presentation by the Director General and CFO. It's quite a very good moment for the portfolio now to be sitting here witnessing the first very good report of an unqualified opinion by the Auditor General on the performance of the department. Say, when I heard of the news, it was an opportunity to take a deep breath and say, how do you keep up this momentum going forward so that we continue to see this department not only with the unqualified audit, but going towards the route of a clean audit. As the many will say in the financial sector, an unqualified opinion is simply a way halfway through getting to a clean audit. So whatever steps, whether the step might be, or the bigger the step might be towards the clean audit, will determine whether in 2014 the department will be able to achieve that. But the reality here, we applaud the department. We think that it is a very significant achievement to you, Director General, and obviously everybody involved. There are questions, one around the legal bill, which is quite high. I would like to understand from the department, what is it that the department aims to try and mitigate against such claims, and possibly deal with the current ones that are there. I mean, if people complain about, for instance, not getting a permit from an immigration office for a very long time, how do you deal with that in order to make sure that it does not happen? I mean, we have a situation where a person trips in a floor in an office and over a cable, and asking the department to pay more than 600 million, which they claim ended up being 100,000 rand. So I think we need to find a way also in our offices in encouraging that there's tightness in the offices so that we try and mitigate against those smaller elements. I remember when we went to Northwest, there was an office, but in fact in Free State, an office there at Tabantu. It was appalling. I couldn't believe. I mean, you can have a member of staff there sending you to court for some of the things that you've seen there. So those are things that the department can try and strengthen. I mean, when we go to oversight, we can see that this can be achieved. This is something that is very difficult. But also, sir, the department, I was listening to the Auditor General yesterday, the Office of the Auditor General briefing us, and some of the questions here, you could easily see that they are answers. If you look at the way the department has handled the style of management, style of leadership, that is outstanding. I think some of the departments could learn from some of that. I mean, the turnaround strategy, since the new CT came into office here, there's been change. You know, there's been walk the talk kind of an attitude. And I think that is something that has somehow influenced the behavior and attitude in the offices. When we went to Free State, the office in Bloem, the regional office there,
it was clear that really they mean business. So even though you were not there, DT and your team, but it was very good to see that some of these things are not simply cover-ups. They are happening in reality out there. The other question really around the sustainability of the achievement this year. For instance, if you look at the turnaround times, there has been challenges this year on the turnaround times on IDs, passports. I would like to know how the department aims to achieve the targets as set out in the strategic plan. Also, if you look at the statistics, the targets on the late registration of births and the issuance of IDs to persons 16 years and older, there are percentages in terms of what you want to achieve. You said you wanted to achieve 95%. But when you talk about what you've achieved, you've given us numbers. So we'd like to understand the rationale behind that. The rest here will take in the second round.
Thank you, Chairperson. I also want to congratulate the department on the clean audit they had and the presentation they just gave now. My first question is on the issue of employment equity, which I'm just a bit disappointed on colors, Indians, and persons with disabilities, and why, of course. Why is the department not doing well on that, part? And then my second one is, in as much as the dispute with Kitima, which has now been resolved, what financial impact is the settlement likely to have on budget requirements in the coming years? Thank you, Chairperson.
You may respond.
Chair will be sharing these questions with Stephen. Just take only the other. The issue of the predetermined objectives as raised by Honorable Gama. Yes, you'll recall that Auditor General, now going forward, they will be auditing performance information. So the reason why they did not give the opinion from day one was the process that the department needs first to be ready in terms of processes. So the first difficulty the department we have was to come up with a credible target. So that was the first issue which we had. So now with immigration, now where there was an issue, it's because we did not have a system there which was able, that track and trace which was implemented. So we issued the permit, but we couldn't have the statistics which credible age can look at it. So now that we have already implemented. So now on the 11th and 12th, we will be able to give those results. But as we are coming to the committee on a quarterly basis, we are able now to give how far we are moving, what are the issues, so that we will look at it. These issues of non-compliance really is a disciplinary issue, this thing. Because there is nothing which says in government, people cannot do the business. But it simply says declare. But it's what people are not doing. So what we have done now with the cases for 11, 12, we have written letters after the audit, we have written letters to those members and said they must respond to the department why they cannot be charged by misconduct. So we are waiting for that. The other element now which was included is that our counter-corruption now, they must get these forms after the bill is declared. As a department, we must go to CIPO ourselves and go and check whether what people have declared is exactly what is in the form. So it's really the issues of discipline which you need to deal with it with the employees, because people, they do at times sign the form. So according to us, if we've got 150 managers, we've got 150 forms. But in that form, the person does not write this, so you cannot know. That's why, again, we wanted our counter-corruption to check. But what still we cannot be able to resolve as well is when now people go and do business with other government departments. Because in an AG, they're able to go to DECO, they're able to go to agriculture. It says, no man, this person has got a business. But for us as a department, we cannot know that. But the only thing we'll do is to implement the issues of discipline. The non-compliance here with regard to the overtime is what we're explaining, to say the problem there is the issue that the department increased the time for people to work, but we're not having that. But now, with what we have implemented, we think it will reduce, but we're not sure that in the 10, in the 11, 12, we still get 100% because of the number. But as we appoint people, we'll get out of that process. I think as the CFO will deal with the internal procurement processes in terms of those delays. The issue of overexpenditure, I'll meet up with that. You see, that problem is referred. If in the last financial year, DECO alone was owed about 709 million rand, starting from 2004-05 financial year. So they were not paid. Which are these systems which were saying we did not understand why there was a service and not paid. There were these suppliers with 539. Again, they were not paid. That was strange. Which were, when we went to SCOPA to deal with that 99 million, so what was strange, the department in those years was saving. They were returning money back to travelers, but the debts are not paid, but the money is retained. So those are the things now which by making sure that we are appointing managers as responsibility managers. So what we did for the budget of 11-12 as we presented to the committee, the first step we did is said, what are the obligations of the department? You must first budget for those. Electricity, rent, security, all those things are budgeted properly for this year. So there will be no way that there is a debt which won't be paid. And we are saying, if a manager, it can happen that there is somebody who was keeping an invoice in a drawer. There was one decision that was taken by the department. It said, it's either you've got that money, you must settle that debt yourself, or you leave. So that message is clear in the management of the department, which was conveyed with the minister. So the issue of overspending, we cannot have it in the 11-12. It's not possible. It cannot happen. Then this issues of the legal bills really is something which we look at it to say, what is the nature of these claims? Why people are claiming the department? You know, the first thing which we have done is the triplicate forms. Because people come to us, one of these claims come and says, no, I submitted my ID with this particular name, but the department spelled it wrong. Now, what we say to the client, bring us the triplicate form and see what was in your form. Because if you have written that name wrongly, then you must take the responsibility. But if as a department who has done it wrongly, who will take the responsibility? So it's something which we are looking at in terms of people. What can we do to make sure that we close that? The second one, if you look at the major of those claims, we're on the procurement side. Because we said there is no way. In fact, what we're doing now in the department, you can't go to a tender in the department without the minister looking at those lists. So for our procurement now up to March 2012, the list we have submitted to the minister and say, this is the item which you think we need a tender. Is there budget for it? Yes. So that there can be no dispute with regard to that. Because others, you find that, yes, like this one of 610 EDMS, we did go out on tender as a department, but we didn't have money for that. Then that was cancelled in the process. And then we started getting claims. The question is, how do you go to a tender without funding? So that has been closed. There is no tender now which can go out of the department without. But they were really confident on these cases which we have, because there was no contract which was signed with those companies anyway. So we are sure that for ADMS, if you remember last year, that amount was 1.4 billion rand. But now they've reduced it now to about 600. When we asked them for what? They said, no, it's a work which they've carried on before. They said, on what basis? So we don't think they will succeed on that. But there will be no other amount which can come there with regard to the procurement issues of the department which is sitting there. So there is something which we're doing to try and see how we can mitigate this. The issue really of the offices, that's why we're talking about this look and feel. If the environment where our people are working and where our citizens go for the services does not look the same, that's why I was saying if you go to Standard Bank or FNB, wherever you go is the same. So that's what we want to achieve as a department going forward. But if the issue is the issue of funding, but we really want to push and identify these offices and make sure that we do not have offices which really cannot. I think the issue of the sustaining this turnaround times is something, as we said, if the department we can be able to automate, we've seen it with the passport. Where we've got a live capture, people, they get their passport in type, or there's no human intervention. The problem is this manual process. They still give us challenges. One of the things which is in the strategic plan for this year, we are really, is a target we want to reach. We want to pilot a smart card. It is there in our target that by this end of this financial year, because that is the solution. If we can get to that, everything else is really history. So it's something which we want to look at to see how we can the financial impact on the Gijima. You recall that what we said was that the amount which we spent up to that was about 1.4 billion, which had a commitment for. And then for us to take this project and complete, we need about 1.1, which is what now is a commitment here. So this year we did settle Gijima. Now Treasury has put money for us they will start putting money in the 11-12 going forward. So we have to deliver that within that amount on what was expected of WAYO. But unless we bring additional issues. So that has been looked at. So now we know with that commitment we'll be able to deliver all what we were looking for. Then our CFO now must deal with the asset register, and then he will deal with the employment equity. And then lastly, we really welcome the words of encouragement, and as a department, it is a worrying thing. As the minister said, now I'm nervous. So for us as a department, we are really working hard to make sure that we remove that fear of nervous from the minister by making sure that we implement, get this unqualified audit report again. Okay, so why the asset register?
Thank you. Previously, we were using consultants to prepare the asset register. This year, we used our own internal staff to do that. The one issue that has delayed this whole process was the fact that this whole function was centralized. So there were few people in head office doing this function. We then took it upon ourselves to make this responsibility each and every office manager's responsibility. So we had to, I wouldn't say reconstruct the asset register from scratch, but we had to to do a full recalcification of the assets. We then update the asset register. We then fair value those assets that were not in the register before. And the other issue is the fact that we are using Excel to manage 163,000 assets. And that delayed the whole process. And that's why we are then introducing the use of Logis to maintain our assets. So those were the few factors that affected us not submitting the asset register on time. The other issue is the problems with the procurement internally. One of the things that we have implemented is this issue of appointing managers as responsibility managers and procurement managers. That means that they are responsible for everything that relates to procurement for the budget allocated to them. And the letter clearly states what each and every person's responsibility is. And the second thing that majority of the irregular expenditure is when people go and procure without completing a form that needs to be completed and getting the necessary authorization. So we have made sure that with the finance directors in the provinces, at least there's somebody there who understands finance and the state accountant who can be able to stop that issue. I think we do have a grip on this issue of procurement, and we've got a very strong bid adjudication committee for everything that is above 500,000 that needs to be procured by the department. So we don't anticipate this issue going forward, and those people who are not, because they've signed that those letters of program and responsibility managers, we are able to then deal with them in terms of financial misconduct, because not following procurement processes is a financial misconduct in terms of the PFMA, and people will be dealt with in terms of that, and the letter will be able to help us to deal with those people. I hope that's sufficient. Thanks.
Really, in some cases, the percentage.
With regard to the shortcoming on the employment equity, we have realized the shortcomings through the past financial year, and going forward we have put into place some interventions that we need to ensure that we deal with this. Our challenges related initially to our recruitment practices and really not having our line management being fully aware of the shortcomings. So going forward, we'll ensure that we have that.
Thank you, Chair. We will do the alignment. The percentages are really just a translation from the raw scores of applications. As we get the numbers, they are raw from the second phase. An application of the collective. So what we will do is just to reconcile instead of taking those scores as they are and place them into the strategy. It's an alignment that we will do, but we have done the presentation. We'll just convert them and on a repeat.
Thank you, Jim. We're taking the next round of questions. My question is with regard to the relocation of the head office. I've noticed that you will be relocating to ensure some new premises. I just hope we won't have problems of leases. I just pray and hope that we won't go into that. If we could maybe get an explanation as to what is happening with regard to moving from Waterloo to the new offices regarding this and all that. And the establishment of a trading account for civil services, if we could get an explanation with regard to that as well. The AG's office yesterday informed us that they are encouraging departments to move from BERS to IMI, Integrated Financial Management System. I see you have it in the annual report, but from the slides, I still see that we are talking about logis and BERS. Can maybe we get an explanation with regard to actually which system are we using? Because they said they are encouraging departments to move to IMFS, something like that. Yeah. Dr. Miller, followed by Honorable Fatman.
Thank you, Chairperson. When we started the meeting, Mr. Mwepa indicated that he's the department spokesperson. But I haven't heard him say a word. Chairperson, I would like to start off by congratulating the department. I remember not very long ago, it was common knowledge that many people said that the Department of Home Affairs is the worst department of all. And I think they came a long way, and I want to congratulate them. But that does not mean that they should now relax and think that they've achieved their goals. They should be an example to the rest of the sources. If I can just reflect to two specific points. The one deals with the overspending, the amount, and I know it's been discussed. And that simply means that during the clean-up process, a number of ghosts were found in different closets in the department. Hopefully there are no more ghosts, but next year there won't be any things that need to be settled that has not been done so far. But the one thing I would like to ask specifically with regard to the printing of passports, the overspending there of 160 million, do I understand it correctly that it means that the department basically subsidized the cost of new passports when the tariffs increased? Because subsequently, I think in the current financial year, that the amount to be paid for a passport was raised significantly. So I think that won't happen again, but I was just wanting to make sure about that. Then in the annual report, the section that deals with the human resources part, I look at the statistics with regard to equity. And I just want to make a point. I think, I may be wrong, but I don't think I'm wrong. I think all the male, colored, Indian, and white employees, as well as all the female colored Indian and white employees, see themselves also as African. I know in terms of terminology, you refer to Africans and then you talk about blacks. And it's not the only department that does this, but the fact of the matter is I think all employees see themselves as Africans. Thank you, Chairman.
Honorable
Fatman.
Thank
you, sir. Chair, we all sing the same song by congratulating the department and we want to congratulate you. And Chair, I think the relationship we've built with the department this year has helped us as members of parliament. It was an extremely good exercise, because it gave us a better understanding and insight of what is taking place within the department. You know, when I think of previous years, when you get an annual report from the department, in most of the department, the members of parliament get so confused, and you know, there's that uncertainty, that tensions when you discuss this particular report, but in this one, things are totally different. Thank you very much, and I hope we could continue with the relationship that we have built this year. The other morning, the PC was on TV, and I was interviewed by Uguyo, and you know, I know that you are not going to let us down. I watch you, and sometimes I also could answer the questions that Uguyo was asking you, because if, and as members of parliament, you know, it seems as if we are also part and parcel of the staff within the department, because now we understand everything that is happening within the department. Thank you very much. But nevertheless, the office is like
the office in Kabanto. If we have offices like that in other provinces as well, I think so it should be a priority. Honorable Ngapela has already spoken on this particular issue. And also, I want to check your connectivity to rural hospitals. Do you have rural hospitals within the 192 hospitals that you mentioned in your report? Because I think it is very important. I traveled during the trip to the eastern Cape, and you know, sometimes you don't even see Home Affairs office in these rural towns, and I wonder if there are connectivity within, because the hospitals are all, there are hospitals in these rural towns within the rural areas, but I don't know about the offices. So that connectivity, are those hospitals also taken into consideration? And then, Chair, without taking much of your time, the dust not going to affect your budget for 2014-11? I would like to know that, because there is a lot of money that they have to cover the dust. And finally, Chair, what strategy do you have to recruit the disabled people? Thank you. Over to you.
Thanks, Yasur. Let again. Chair, I think the question which you raise is very important because we do not know what that process will end up with the public work. So I have to explain so that if it comes, it is understood. Chair, the Department of Home Affairs moved to work with an understanding that they will go back to Civitas. That was their building. They were sharing that building with the Department of Health, but it was belonging to the Department of Home Affairs. So they were going to be there for a period of 4 years and then went back. When that time came, the department lost the building. That's why, you know, when we joined the department, we were trying to understand how is it possible that you were in the building and now lost. There was something, it says, no, there was, an assistant director, whatever, who wrote a letter to Public Works and says, no, it's Home Affairs, we no longer need in that building. But the building was lost. Then, when that happened, then the Public Works was to look for an alternative accommodation for Home Affairs. Then they found this building, which now I think is on one of the pages here, which would be moving to it. But there was a fundamental problem, because what in terms of square meterage is bigger than this one which we're moving on. Then there was a dispute again in the department and Public Works, saying, no, this building, we don't need it, take it, Public Works will take it over and all that. Unfortunately, the lease agreement was already signed. So when the minister in 2009 followed up again at this process of saying, fine, this building is not ours, Public Works is going to take it. But we realize the point that whatever we are saying, the fact of the matter, that contract is binding. So if now as the Department of Home Affairs, we just leave it out, it's going to be a problem, which will always have this thing now saying, who signed this document? And also there was that dispute here between the department and Public Works. So the minister look at this matter and says, but the issue is that the government, without saying is it Home Affairs or Public Works, at the end, it will be problematic, because when I be taken to court, we might be a first respondent, we might be a second respondent, but at the end of the day, there are documents which have been signed. Now, based on that, then we look at what compromise we can deal with this matter. Then it was like, okay, we've got a BVR where civics is already there. So if we move a certain number of staff to Hallmark and a certain number to civics, but the advantage is because civics is a government building, so we'll be paying rental. Also, we have to look for a space for the ministry. That's why now ministry was moved to the building at Acacia. That building belongs to the former Buputatwana and Kumbas. They were deco. So we went to deco because when they moved to the new building and said, hey, can you give us this building? So that now we can accommodate ministry again because it's a government department. We're not going to pay rent. That was the way now we're able to resolve it, you know, in terms of accommodating the department. Then, you know, Public Works has been renovating the building, because again, the building has to be renovated through the process of Public Works. So, Chair, that did not take a short time. Because I think the department should have moved in that building in November, not before September. I think I was supposed to have moved in November last year. It should have been ready by that time, but it could not be ready. I was only informed yesterday, as you see that, but it's fine now in terms of it being renovated, but it was not public test. So yeah, that public safety. So that's why then I was holding. So Chair was saying, we do not know. That meeting might be a part of that problem. But now for us, that's what we have done. So we are not sure whether with this 3 billion problem, whether that building is there in terms of those processes. But that's what, as a department, this building came about. So we will be moving to it, hopefully that now I was told that maybe by 15th of November, we might be able now to move to this building. But as Home Affairs, we will pay the renter from the date we move into that building, which will be started. Because we are paying at once now. So that's what I'm saying. I do not know what happens, you know, between Public Works and the landlord from that particular time up to when we will be moving. So I don't want to say to the committee there will be no issue, but maybe that building was paid, then there can be an issue to say this building has been paid or what. But for us, where we were guaranteed was that we will only pay that rental once we move into that building. So that is the history of that building.
Just to follow up then, you are going to move from what? What about the lease at Watson? Is it coming to the end of it?
No, at Watson we are on a month-to-month basis, yes. Yeah, so that one we are covered, yes. Okay, therefore we'll deal with the trading account. I can take now that one of the passport, yes. In a way, that's what it means, that in that year we had to pay that amount that we can settle it. So it's as good as that passport were subsidized for that year. But when the CFO now deals with the trading account, it will show that why that issue now is no longer a problem. And I hope that the ghosts will try to went to all the couples and try and get everything which one get. But the CFO also on the line of whether we have an impact on the budget, we also deal with that. Really, this issue of the offices is really, we are, it's something, we are also PPPs and all that. So it's something which, because at one point the minister did meet with the business and said to the business, I think they offered to the minister, what can we do for you? So those things we really want to look at. But one of the strategies now is that when we get a new office, that lease agreement must be inclusive of the look and feel, so that I only deal with the ones which are the past. And really the issue of our increased access, really the minister was saying that it was not supposed, the trusts which we have are only 117. So now in the budget for 11-12, the following one, 12-13, we have submitted a request as well to say maybe we don't need to expand now that fleet, because to create an office, it is more expensive than getting a mobile truck which can go to that unit community and be able to service them. But yeah, Mr. Mkizen, so we deal with the issue of this rural hospital, what we are connecting and everything with the target even for this year. And then say for then we're also dealing with that issue of the disability. I think it's very important. Maybe say for we can start and then say for
The establishment of the trading account. This is to deal with the issue of the increase in the passport price. It's currently 400. The cost is around 380. And because National Treasury didn't want this exorbitant cost to go through the vault, they then agree with ourselves that we'll establish a trading account. What will happen when we get the 400 rand, we will retain that money. We're not going to surrender it to the National Treasury, to the National Revenue Fund. And we will then use that 400 rand to pay GPW with that. So this will help us with our problem with the budget, specifically for the printing of passports. But then remember, the cost does not cover the employees and all those things. So we'll still be using the employees of the department, but the printing cost will be covered from the 400. The trading account also going forward in terms of the appropriation will also cover the other civics services issues like ID and certificate and all those things. So we're not gonna return the money for those things going forward. But this is gonna be done over a 2-year period. This next year, or in this financial year, we started with the passport, and the next year we'll then introduce other civics products. In terms of the auditing of the account, in terms of the treasury regulations, if you've got a trading account, it follows a different accounting framework. This will mean that we're going to be preparing financial statements using the GAAP accounting framework, and we do have the necessary skills within the department to do that. We will still use the same accounting system that we are using, but we have seen that we are able to extract the information relating to this revenue separate, and we'll be opening a separate bank account. We've got approval from National Treasury to open a separate bank account for this revenue, so that it's separated from the other normal revenue. So the accounting part and the auditing part, it will still be audited by the Auditor General, and it will still be included in our annual report, but as a trading account, the way we used to do with GPW. The issue of the IFMS, CILO will look at that. My understanding, IFMS is not ready. There are different models of IFMS ready, but they are still being piloted in different lead sites. Unless if the Auditor General has got more information than different departments, we would welcome to use those. But we'd rather be on this on Logis and BAS, which are the system used by each and every department, and they are supported by National Treasury, instead of having systems that are not supported by National Treasury. But Silo will talk a lot about the models on the system. If we look at the overspending, will it affect our current year budget? I will definitely say no. It won't affect our current year. There won't be overspending on our current year budget because we have budgeted for all our operational expenditures, including the accruals, which in the past we were not doing that. So we have done that. If we just look at accommodation, for instance, our budget is sitting around 300 and something million, and that's because we've properly budgeted for it and we've moved funds from somewhere else to cover that. Security, properly budgeted for. Things like a telephone, it's properly budgeted for. And we've even centralized the payment of those invoices so that they can settle within 30 days.
Thank you, Chair. With regards to the strategies that we employed to appoint disabled people, we have particularly identified and earmarked positions where we believe we can appoint disabled people. And what we have also done is that we have liaised with the Association of the Disabled in the various provinces, and we have also gained access to the database where from the Premier's offices and from the social department where they have lists of disabled people. We've actually just gone through a drive now in July where we were recruiting quite a number of front office clerks, and I am aware that we have appointed at least six people in three of the provinces that are disabled.
Thanks, Chairperson and Tichi. In terms of the connectivity of hospitals in rural areas and offices, we have actually been making a lot of effort in making sure that the hospitals that we're connecting in this financial year and in the next coming financial year are in rural areas. There are challenges there because as part of government, Home Affairs is also contributing towards taking services to the poor people in rural areas. So yes, Chairperson, we have connected some of the hospitals in rural areas. And if you look at the previous trends, you realize that most of the offices that we are opening were also in those deep rural areas. We have challenges in terms of infrastructure, but as Home Affairs, we have also taken an approach of using the satellite technology in those areas where there's no telecom infrastructure and so forth. And that approach and model has been working effectively for us. In terms of the numbers, I don't necessarily have figures, but we can get that information to the members. The second issue on the integrated financial management system, this is a system that is going to replace the current basic accounting system, BAS for finance, the payroll system, which is the PESAL, and the supply chain management system, like your LOCIS, and also it will have the asset management system. Now, the reason why we are having this is that this current system are not integrated, they are not seamless, and therefore, if you log into PESAL, you cannot draw information from BAS. And therefore, government has taken a decision that they will replace it with an integrated system, which is the IFMS. And this is led by the National Treasury and the CETA. As the CFO has said, there are a number of modules that you find within the system, and they are piloted in phases because the big bang approach is something that we always avoid because it leads to failure. So the asset management module, for example, and is one of the modules that has been piloted in a number of provinces. And we also pick up provinces like in Limpopo so that, you know, we can actually deal with those because we know that we'll be experiencing problems in those poor provinces. And it has been rolled out and it's been working very well in a pilot phase. The next phase is actually to roll it out in certain government departments, including Home Affairs as one of the identified departments.
And this, the progress report chair is given within the FITO Council, which is the Government Information Technology Council, where you have all the chief information officers of all government departments, including the FITO. Thank you.
Yeah, honorable members, I'm sure they've answered all the questions. We have come to the end of the meeting. If there are no hands, yes, that's it.
Clone the DG and his team and send them to Public Works.
I wish you could do that.
No, so I wanted to ask this relationship between the 90. I mean, if you look on page 98, the percentages on national vacancy rate. I'm trying to understand what is the rationale behind the 7.4% that is alluded to. Because when we went to provinces and interacted with the provincial manager, you would find that the vacancy rate at times amounted to 45%. And now I'm worried about this compared to what we've had, which is page 98. And also, if you look at that, it also says 33% of resignation rate, which is on page 102, as opposed to some of the reports that we've had when interacting with the provinces. And the last one is, how long is it going to take to have the border management agents? I mean, when we go to the borders, it's a chaos. And for as long as it was a situation like in Maseru, Fixback, Libombo, and even the one the Vice Bridge. So if we have got that challenge, I mean, I remember when we interacted with officials there in Maseru, some of them, if we're not honorable members, they were going to deal with us. It was the questions that member, including the chairperson, was asking. For instance, you get to a staff office, there's no one to lead. The queue is as long as a person waiting for 4 hours to be helped. And when you ask the question, who was supposed to be helping, and they said, no, I had to go to another meeting in town, I had to meet my manager there. And when you want to know who's in charge, they say someone that is walking outside along the fence is in charge. But people are in the office waiting to be helped. So I think this is very urgent. Because the PCO, CC official that was present also was a very nasty person, to be precise. And if these are men, and most of the members in this committee are women, and sometimes you find that they seem to look at women as something else that they can deal with. And I must say that it was very embarrassing. I was there myself, and I could see that these guys, they don't understand that we have to oversight. So if we facilitate this thing of border management agency in a professionalized manner, I think the sooner we do that, the better the borders will become. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, honorable member. But also to find out with regard to the deployment of the defense force manning the borderline, as to how far is that, because even Swaziland, we were in Swaziland, somewhere along Swaziland, where we got a complaint that the borderline along Swaziland has a problem also of people now moving here, because I'm sure they know that the defense force has been deployed in that Zimbabwean side. Now they are moving to Swaziland side. So we want to find out as to how far is the deployment of the defense force.
Ever we deal with the vacancy and resignation rate. You see, Chair, with this issue of border management, that's why our target is to support this matter is with the intelligence. I think the Minister of Intelligence was mandated to drive this issue, which has got its own issue, which is really a problem that this thing is not moving. But what we are doing whilst that process is going its way, that's why when we're dealing with the OR Tambo, we are saying, as long we do not have people who are disciplined in an area like that. So what we want to do is to start with the OR Tambo as a pilot. And our process is the one it said. We want staff members to, we're going to get the whole team from the head of the port up to, if there's a cleaner who's supposed to be there, all that want to get it from defense and pilot it. Because an area like that, you need a high disciplined people. If you don't, that's a problem you're going to have. Secondly, what we want to look at in that pilot is that we want to make sure how we have come up with that number. We are saying the counters which are on our Tambo on the arrivals are 45, on the departure are 25. You want for each and every shift, those counters must be fixed. Then I want to pilot that. After we've done the OR Tambo, the next one is going to be, we want to look at Maseru, we want to look at Bait Bridge, we want to look at the Cape Town and Kinshasa. So we will be implementing this as we are going forward. So, because if you don't do that, it is just completely out of money. So what we are trying on that was, again, in the port of entry, not only Home Affairs. So we are trying now to really cement this relationship between defense, police, and SARS, so that we can make sure that we're starting to put these processes and see how they're going to work. Then there's a defense review committee as well. We'll be presenting on it on Friday. I think it's... the committee is chaired by Mr. Hofmeyer, who was appointed by the Defense Minister. One of the things which we are taking into that committee is to say, if we do not close the borderline, we can have now good immigration acts, we can have called that at the end, we can have right things now in the ports of entry. But if that angle is weak, there's nothing we're going to be achieving. So it's something which we would be presenting there and understand what is their process, what, how long it's going to take for them to complete all that, and what is their target. Well, that's what people are doing. In fact, our worry now, even besides those ones, is that the more problematic now is the maritime one. Those now people get into these boats, they just travel through and then come in. So if that side also is not looked at, we can do now the land one, but still it's not going to close it completely. So it's something which we'll be taking it there. So really we want to work on this port of entry to make sure that people, in fact there is an exercise which we are still working on, which we will at a point in time, Minister wants to finalize it, to look even at each port of entry. Do we need all of them? How do we capacitate those which we need and all that? So it's another exercise which we're dealing with. But at the right time, we will bring back that as well. Vacancy rate and...
Okay, thank you, Chair. If you look at the vacancy rate and how it's been tabled in the report, it's been determined by looking at our headcount against our funded vacancies for the financial year. And that is very important, because if you look at the past year or so, we've actually reviewed our structure. We've done a cleanup on our personal database, and really what we're saying, we're actually building our structure year on year going to 2014. And this build-up is based on the current budget that we will have available. And therefore, we have not based our vacancy rate on unfunded positions. On the resignation rate, what is indicating is that, it's indicating a high percentage, which has come about due to the once-off release of the contractors that we had within the department. Over the past 18 months, we've been releasing contractors month on month. In fact, the 12 months for 2010-11, we were releasing contractors month on month, and therefore the figure that indicates today is 3,132. In essence, if you look at it, we only have 320 resignations for the financial year, which is then far less than the 33% that would be actually indicated. So that should not appear going forward.
Are we through with the questions? Okay. Since there are no more hands, I would like to thank the department, the DG, and the CFO, and all the team, all the officials here, for the good work that you have done. We really appreciate that.